Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us so that He can do the teaching, Father, guiding us into the depth of the truth of this your word. We know, Father, that it's all true, but we need help at times to understand it. We ask now that our hearts and minds be open to receive it, to stand with it, to stand on it, so that we can receive the things, Father, that you have for each and every one of us. And use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 16th chapter now of Matthew. As we've come, we've seen a lot of things we've been through, a lot of the Beatitudes, and we've also seen a lot of His work. We've been through a lot of prophecy, parables, and all up to this point. Now, here in verse 1, it says the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Out of everything that they know that he has done, all of the healings and everything that he's done, the feeding twice of multitudes with literally nothing to feed them with, and yet they're asking for signs from heaven. Verse 2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and low rain. O ye hypocrites, you can disconcert the face of the sky, but can you not disconcert the signs of the times? They claim, you know, that they can predict the weather by the looks of the sky. You letting them know that they can't recognize the signs of the time. Here in 4. He's calling a hypocrite in 3. Now here in 4, he says, a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. You know, what was the sign of Jonah? You know, that related to his resurrection and all, his death and all of that. And he told them that's going to be the only sign they're going to get, other than what they're seeing him do. But they're not taking that as a sign. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And had, there again, and had them eat with them. Eight, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets we took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets we took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? He doesn't fool around. And he makes it plain and point blank. 12. Then understood they how that he bid them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He's warning them about the doctrine of those, both of those groups. Now, the Pharisees believed in resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. But the Pharisees are still trying to live under the law. And at this time, they are supposedly living under the law because he is still here on this earth with his ministry. So the church age has not started yet. But he's trying to get them ready for when this change comes about, which we know now that it took place on the day of Pentecost. Now, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He's asking them a question. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." They're willing to go along with him being a prophet or something that way, but they're not wanting to accept him as the Son of Almighty God. 15. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter answered him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In other words, it has been revealed to him by the Spirit of Almighty God. 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what is he really talking about there in 18:20 when he tells them, upon this rock? And we know that there are some still yet today teaching was the rock, the foundation, that everything was to be built upon, and especially even the church, that he was the foundation stone of the church. But you see, he wasn't. He wasn't talking about Peter at all. He was talking about himself. Letting them know that that's what the church would be built on, and nothing. Could take his church down. And even with all the mess we have going on in our churches today, his church is still standing, and it is the foundation, and Satan can't get into that church, but he has sure gotten into a lot of men's churches, because you see, they got to doing exactly what they were told not to do. To start with, they went to building walls to divide mankind and to divide men's beliefs. Now, they didn't call them walls. They called them denominations. But that's exactly what it did. It divided mankind. One group, well, let you know, they can't belong to this other group over here because they don't believe alike. That's because they are out of the word of Almighty God. There's only one church that's going to heaven, and that's his. The church he's coming back for It's not all these different churches we've got here on earth. He's coming after his church, his bride. And these churches better come together and wake up and get back into the Word of God and repent for the things they have let take place and happen, and get right and get back in to his church. That's the only one that's going to get them into heaven. Now, 19. He says, and I will give unto thee keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I want you to listen to this. And listen closely. Because this is the strength he has given unto those that are his children and unto his churches, his church, the power that he has bestowed upon us, that whatsoever we will bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What awesome power God has given to mankind. You see, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost in that upper room when the Holy Spirit was sent back from heaven, back down here on earth to mankind to live within each of God's children. He came carrying the authority and the power of Almighty God. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, we know that they're going to tell. But you and I are supposed to be shouting it from the rooftops. We're supposed to be telling it to everyone we see and come in contact with, and to share his word. 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. It's here that he's beginning to teach those disciples, getting them ready for what was about to happen and getting them to a point to where after that happened, they still could be taught for what was coming just a little ways down the road, actually 40 days from the time of his death and resurrection. Now, 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, Peter, there he is again. You know, Peter was a good man, but he's also a big mouth. And he likes to make believe that he's capable of things really that right now, right then he ain't capable of. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He knows that Satan and Peter talking. Thou art an offense unto me. What he's saying is even an offense unto him. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You're not talking about the things of God. You're talking about what man is wanting. You as a man. 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Have you ever really stopped to think and to meditate on that verse alone? Is pointing out a lot for you to think about and meditate upon and to see. He said that we have to deny ourselves. If we're going to follow him, we got to take up our own cross. That means, as he was persecuted and all, made fun of and all of this and all, we're going to have to go through the same thing. So why should we think any different? Mankind don't see things that way, do they? 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If we're going to put our lives before his, and we will not deny ourselves, give ourselves totally and completely unto him, we'll lose our life throughout eternity. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. When we make that commitment, that total commitment unto him, and we really start living this word as it is written, doing whatsoever he will call upon us to do, then we have found our life, eternal life, eternal life within. Think about it. Now, 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And there is an awful lot of mankind today that has exchanged his soul for the things of this world and this life instead of looking things in the kingdom of Almighty God. Now, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So what is your works? Is your works for the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God? Or are your works for yourself and others that are close to you and the things of this world? That's what most has chosen. Most of mankind has chosen that. Think about that. Now, 28. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He letting them know. Some of you that are standing here right now is going to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, he's not talking about his second coming back. He's talking about coming into his kingdom, which is what is going to happen when he is crucified and resurrected, and he ascends into heaven. He goes back to sit on the right hand. That's the kingdom he's talking about. And you know, you and I, when mankind will become born again, he begins walking in the kingdom of Almighty God right here on earth. Think about it. I'm going to let you think about that. Give you something to research. Check it out. Now, we're going to be going in here to 17. I don't know how far we'll get in it. Only the good Lord knows that. But anyway, we're going to get started. Because the Spirit ain't letting me quit yet. 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now they're really seeing something. You see, he's putting on his kingdom. 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Moses and Elijah. And both had gone many years. And they're standing there talking to him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. hear ye him. The voice of God speaking out of this cloud. 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. You see, that's a lot of problems today. They are a lot out there that love the Lord, but they have no fear of him. And we are to walk in fear of him, in fear of what will happen with us if we don't work with him. Just loving him is not enough. We must have that fear so that we will work with him and do the things that we are supposed to do and to stay in his word. To gain more knowledge and wisdom to use that word. Because you see, in the study of God's word, he is speaking to you and I. There's a lot of them will say, well, you know, God don't talk to me. He will if you are living a righteous life and you are into his word. Because every time you pick it up, he will be talking to you. It was his spirit that had it recorded. And it was his words. They were afraid there in 6. Now 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. The other two were gone. They had went back to heaven from where they came. 8. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. You don't speak about this until after I have been crucified, after I've been killed, after I have been raised from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then, say the scribes, that Elijah must first come? Well, he's going to give them an answer. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Putting it pretty straight, isn't he? You see, God doesn't play around, and he tells us straight. And that's what you and I are supposed to do. That's why he tells you and I to stand and speak boldly. Because in declaring this gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord God Almighty, and this word, one day will mean our lives, just like it did for the apostles in their day. Have you got enough backbone to stand and do that? Because you see, in him telling them Elijah had come was because he was talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. That's not my word, that's his word, which we're going to see right here. 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. 14. And when they were come into the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Uh-oh. And sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Because you see, he called him a lunatic, but he was actually filled with demonic beings. That's what was wrong. Now Jesus is talking to him about this. 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. He's letting his disciples know, how long am I going to be with you? And he's calling them faithless. Where is your faith? 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now this is a place where a lot of us for a long time didn't, and still a lot of them don't pay attention to. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. No might or maybes in there, is there? No. But he goes on to tell them. And this next verse is why a lot of us, our faith is weak. 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth out but by prayer and fasting. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And we don't do enough praying and fasting, spending time with our God to see things work as they should be working in our churches and in our own lives. Now, 22. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And you know they had to be. Now, you and I are sorry for the pain he bore, you know. But then we have joy that he bore that pain so that you and I could have everlasting life in heaven with him. 24. When they were come out to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Hey, you go take and get that first fish. He's got the money in his mouth. You take it. And go pay that tribute for you all and me. Had to be a pretty good piece of money, didn't it? But the Lord, you see, there's nothing impossible to him. And there's nothing really impossible to you and I if we will continue to walk with him in his work and spend time in his word, in fellowshipping together, in learning, and time in prayer and fasting. If we want to be his, he has got to be first in our life. Above everything and everyone. He'll not be second to nothing or no one. As I said earlier, it takes that total commitment. And if you can't give that to him, you're not going to make it. Think about it. It's all there in his word. We've been reading this the last couple of days. We've got one more day now in the four Gospels, and then we're going to be back into the book of Acts for the weekend. You know, we need to walk upright always, holding on to him in his hand, and he'll not turn us loose if we do that. We close his word now. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for that word. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to give us a way that we could live, Father, and become your children and make heaven our home. We're not robots, Father. We have choices to make. And if we look to the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they'll help us. But Father, for us to deny the word, to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we're lost and undone. Now, Father, there are those out there that are sick. We're lifting them up. And we're telling them that they are healed by the stripes that Jesus bore. That healing was given over 2,000 years ago when he went to the cross. He took it all with him. All of our sins, all of our sicknesses and diseases, he bore it all. He paid that price so that we could have life even here on this earth abundantly. Now, Father, I pray that healing right now is at work within each one of them. And that the Holy Spirit, Father, is letting them know that they are healed at this very moment. It's been done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, keep each one of us safe, in health, and let us rest through the evening and night, Father. Come together in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to work within our families, each one that belongs to this ministry. We all have family members, Father, that are lost, that are not saved. Work with them. Turn them around. Let them see and understand that they need something more than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, his forgiveness, and that they need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so that they, too, Father, can have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. My Father, hold us all in the hollow of your hand. And as I ask, bring us back together again come morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word and fellowship with each other. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a good night and walk with God. God willing, see you in the morning.